As we look to God's Word today, I ask you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a little bit. And as I said earlier, we're talking about prayer today and reminded of the second of the core values of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which tells us that prayer is the primary work of God's people. And I know it's so easy to say when you hear that. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. And our immediate response is, well, yeah, sure. I know prayer is important. But that's not what this core value is talking about. That's not the place that prayer is to be limited to in our lives. It doesn't say that prayer is just important. Any more than you would say that, for instance, breathing is important. Right? No. Breathing is more than, it is important, but it's more than that. And so is prayer. Both of those things are what I like to talk about as first order essential. Like this is like top of the list, top of the pile, essential things. Because think of the difference. I would say that eating is important. But if I miss a meal or two, not only would it not kill me, some might argue it would be a pretty good thing if I missed a meal or two. But breathing, if you miss more than a minute or so of breathing, you're in serious trouble. It's not a good thing. It is that essential. You might say then that breathing is a primary physical work, as we say that prayer is the primary work of God's people. So here's that core value again. I'd like you to read it with that distinction in mind. Now, other than that, the very wise leadership of the Christian and Missionary Alliance has added this to our list of core values, I want us to look today at what makes prayer a first-order essential. I'd even shorten the question to say, why pray? Why pray? Because the answer to that comes from an even higher authority than the leadership of the CMA. You will find in your Bible a lot of stories about prayer. If you look through the Scriptures, you will discover a lot of instructions that guide believers in prayer, how we're supposed to pray and how often and what that's supposed to look like. And then you also discover there are commands for Jesus followers to pray. There's a lot of them, but we're going to look at two passages today, two of the many, that encourage us to view prayer the way God sees it as a first order essential. So take a moment. On the screen is going to be the text from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Read that for yourself and let that sink in as we look at God's Word together today. So here, in these eight verses in Ephesians 3, I see five answers to the question, why pray? First of all, we're going to run through these really quick, so keep up. First of all, why pray? It's your Father. All right?
It's your father.
I know we're not to Father's Day yet. Maybe I should have saved that for Father's Day. But this is an important one. It's your father. Every one of you, as a Jesus follower, God is your father. Prayer is talking to him. As I said, Father's Day's in a couple weeks, and you know, sometimes it seems like mothers get all the press on this. You know, call your mother. And I concur, you need to do that. But I want to tell you, as a father, dads love hearing from their children. We love it. We love hearing what's going on in your life and the things that you're doing, the things that interest you and excite you. We want to know what's happening. We want you to talk with us. And children, you benefit from talking to your father as well. And when we add that to the idea that we have a heavenly father who can do anything, we benefit from taking our needs to our dad. Why pray? It's your father. Secondly, you need his power. You need his power. Look at this. He says, I pray that he may grant you, God may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love. He has a lot of power going on here. Inner strength. For every Jesus follower, this is inner strength that we're talking about, because Jesus is in you. It's not because you can muster that up yourself. You can't. You are empowered according to the riches of his glory. He's got it all. You can be strengthened with power in your inner being because Christ dwells in you. You don't seek his power, you seek him. And when he's with you, there's nothing you can't do. In that relationship, you have a very solid foundation in which to stand through the trials of life, firmly rooted and established. As Jesus followers, we have that good solid footing in his strength and because of his love. And that's the third thing. Why pray? Everybody wants to be loved. The prayer is that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so you can be filled with all the fullness of God. We learned this song as children in church. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. We need to know that. Because everyone wants to be loved. And Jesus loves you so much that Paul says here, you can't even fully comprehend it. It goes beyond anything you could ever imagine. It's love that will fill your heart to overflowing. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus cannot love you anymore. And he refuses to love you any less. Why pray? What's your father? You need his power. And everybody wants to be loved. But also, you get to talk with God. The one who is able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Prayer is you talking to God, who can do anything. No limits. Ask for anything. There's nothing he can't do. Actually, he is able to do way more than you can even imagine. And I know you say, I can imagine a lot. Try it. All right? Talk to God. Why pray? Because you get to talk to God. And lastly, God likes it when you pray. Paul talks about him receiving glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations forever and ever. When we pray, we're giving God the glory for who He is and what He does in our lives. You see, this goes right back to where we started. What father doesn't want to talk to their child? God loves you so much and can't wait to hear you call out to Him for whatever the reason. He likes it when we pray. You see, Paul prayed these things for the Jesus followers in Ephesus. And I want to tell you, this past week, I have prayed these things for you. For the followers at Lakeview Chapel specifically. But more than seeing these things as answers to prayer, which they are, I believe that the more you spend time talking with your Father, the more you will see these same blessings and growth in your life. In Ephesians 2, earlier, just before what we read, Paul spoke at length about our salvation and our privilege as Jesus followers, what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then he followed that at the beginning of chapter 3 by saying, For this reason, and he was going to tell you why our salvation was so important to us. He was going to talk about why the privileges we have in Christ are so important to us. But as you begin chapter 3, you see he gets sidetracked right away. And I don't blame him. You know, it happens to me a lot too. You start a thought and then all of a sudden, whoops, oh, I went off on a little rabbit trail. But he picked up that same phrase where we started here. For this reason, I pray, he says. Because of your salvation in Christ, because of the new life that He gives you with all of its blessings and privileges, you are able to pray. He's your Father who empowers you and loves you and provides for you. Talk with Him. Now, all of these reasons apply for all of us. But which one really resonates or appeals to you today as you think of those five things? Maybe all of them. Maybe one or two just jump off the page at you and thought of them before. Every time you think of them, you think, oh, that's perfect. Think about it for just a moment. There's something else, something more that I want for us to understand today. While our prayer is key to our personal growth and our benefits as Christ followers, it's more than that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, this is the second passage of Scripture I want us to look at. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. God answered Solomon when he prayed to dedicate the temple in Jerusalem by saying this, "If my people who belong to me humble themselves and pray, seek to please me and repudiate their sinful practices, then I will respond from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, God says, I will be attentive and responsive to the prayers offered in this place." Prayer is the gateway to active change in our lives. Through prayer, God changes you and changes your world. God's the one doing the prayer, doing the changing, but He does that when we pray. Whenever we act as if prayer is a first order essential in our lives, God changes things. What you and I, individually and corporately as a body of Christ, what we do about prayer is far more important than what we say about prayer. More important than even what we say in our prayers. God told Solomon three things that went along with this first order essential prayer. What does it mean for us to act like we believe that prayer is our primary work? First, humble yourself. Humble yourself. That's the attitude that you take when you acknowledge that I can't handle this on my own. I need God. I must seek God. That takes humility, admitting I'm not enough. And it leads us to seek God. Solomon, or God spoke to Solomon, he said, seek to please me. In other versions, it's seek my face. If my people will seek my face. It's figurative for deeply desiring and pursuing God with everything we have. Seeking to pursue God's presence and His acceptance in our lives. That's the most important thing we want. A number of years ago, our family was fasting, doing a fast over Lent. And one of the things that was included in our fast was dairy products. We didn't have any dairy products for that 40 days. And Brendan and I would go grocery shopping for this new diet that we were following. And we would have to choose, pick and choose what we were buying. And every time we would walk by the coolers where all the cheese was. And we would say, oh, I love cheeses. And every time we did that, we remembered why we weren't buying any and changed it to, I love Jesus. They sound pretty much alike. It was a good reminder for us. Yes, we love cheeses, but oh, we love Jesus. We desired God more than what we loved. Seek to please Him. Seek God. Desire and pursue after His presence and His acceptance in your life. We humble ourselves. We seek Him. And then repent. In this version it says, repudiate your sinful practices. And that's what it means. Repent. Stop doing what you're doing because you're changing direction to go God's way instead of your own. Humble yourself. Seek God. Repent. These are the actions that describe a believer, that describe a church who is acting as if prayer is their primary work. They're behaving like prayer is a first order essential. You see, when you and I, as God's people, not only agree that prayer is first order essential, but then we act like it is, that's when God says He will respond powerfully in grace and love. To put it succinctly, God answers when we pray like it's a first order essential in our lives. God answers when we act, when we behave, like it's our primary purpose. As you and I, as Jesus followers, start treating prayer as our primary work, then God will be attentive and responsive to our prayers. It wasn't lost on me that earlier in Chronicles, Solomon was writing about what his prayer was, and his prayer was recorded there, and he prayed specifically, asking God, now my God, may you be attentive and responsive to the prayers offered in this place. That's what he asked. And I thought it was important to note that that's exactly how God responded. Yes, I will be attentive and responsive to the prayers that you offer in this temple. When Solomon asked, God specifically answered, yes, I will be attentive when you pray. When you pray like this, I will respond when you act like prayer is your primary work. Those five reasons why prayer is good for every Jesus follower is not just about personal growth and benefit. They lead us to see prayer as a church, as the body of Christ, for what it truly is. First order essential. It is our primary work. And it leads us then to act in the way that God described, humbly seeking Him, willing to repent from anything that leads us away from Him. When we act like prayer truly is our primary work, God shows up powerfully, able to do above and beyond whatever we could even ask for or imagine. So how do you see your prayer life? I'm not here to judge your prayer life. I don't know what it looks like, but you do. Self-evaluation time. What does my prayer life look like? Is it important to me only? Or is it first order essential, evidenced by the way we act in our lives, by the things that we do, showing that prayer is my primary work? I can't answer that for you. And I'm examining my own prayer life in that same light. And my prayer is what Paul said in Ephesians 3. I kneel before the Father, and I pray that He'll grant to us, through the riches of His glory, the strength and power of Christ living in us, so that we'll be rooted and established in His love, able to understand how great that love is and to show it to those who are around us in the ways that He has provided for us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for these truths. Reminds us of things that we've heard before, no doubt, but it also challenges us, Lord, to take a look and see if prayer really is my primary work, if I view it as the most important thing I could ever do. Lord, I ask that You would strengthen and grow this core value in each of our lives. That You would do the same in us as a body of believers. That we would admit we need You and seek You with all our hearts. Turning from anything that would keep us from You or would lead us astray. Because, Lord, we confess we can't live this life as a Christian. We can't be the church that You want us to be in our own strength or ability. We need You. Draw us to the prayer that will allow us to be the Jesus followers you want us to be. And we'll give you the glory for it always, Father. So we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.